Hey guys, welcome back to We Have Thoughts. This is our Conversations with Oscar series, where we take a look at the Best Picture nominees each year, and we watch them and we talk about them. And today we're talking about Jojo Rabbit, which has been nominated, obviously, for Best Picture, Best Supporting Actress Scarlett Johansson, Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Costume Design, Best Production Design, and Best Film Editing. I am your host, Anna.
I'm Crystal.
I'm Joy.
Let's dive in.
Oh, I just thought about a note about the Irishman. Dang it.
Every time.
I know. Every time. I'm sorry. We'll talk about it. I'll tweet about it later. It's fine. Thank
you. Sorry.
So.
We all watched this one separately.
We did.
Yeah.
Well, Irishman was separate too, right?
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I guess it feels different because it was a theater one.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
And those we usually try and go together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If we can.
But yeah, how did you guys feel?
I liked it.
Me too. And I thought I would. I thought it looked good.
Obviously, I was nervous for obvious Holocaust reasons. But I was just... What?
For Holocaust reasons.
Why are you laughing at me?
I'm not.
What? Oh, no. What
go
did
ahead,
I
go
say?
Ahead. Go, go, go,
did
go,
I offend
go.
You? I'm sorry.
No, you didn't offend me. I'm fine.
I'm offended.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I was nervous because of the subject matter. So I was just apprehensive, but I really love Taika Waititi. I get his humor.
Yeah.
His brand of humor is probably my favorite. So, I was like, I think I'll be okay because I like him. And I was okay. And I kind of feel guilty that I liked it a little bit, actually.
I liked it. I had a few, not issues, but I had a few like
qualms.
Qualms, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I had some qualms, but I really liked it, and I was not expecting to cry as much as I did, but I bawled like a fucking baby.
I don't doubt also that. Bawled like a baby. Wow.
I was not prepared. Joy, how did you feel? Because you were the one that was most apprehensive, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm still apprehensive. I just, this content... It's like very, obviously it's a very touchy subject. I feel like it has to be done with like a certain respect paid for it. It's not something that just anybody can make a film or a book or whatever about. For the first like 15 minutes until he discovers that, what's her name? Is it Elsa?
Elsa.
Mm-hmm. Elsa is hiding in his house. I was literally like, so nervous and so uncomfortable, and like I didn't think that a movie could make me more uncomfortable this year than Joker, but I found myself being more uncomfortable just because the amount of times that they say the phrase, mm-hmm. and the amount of like so horrible things that just came out of like people's mouths. I was just like really like, this is gross and I hate it and I don't want to watch it because it's just, I'm so uncomfortable.
You know, I can, I'm sorry.
But like, once I got past that, then, you know, it was going somewhere. But like the beginning part of that, I was just like,
I can see why people, you know, on myself, I don't, like if you don't want to watch this because you're not in the mood to like, sort of sympathize with Nazis, that's fine. You don't have to watch it. But I because I think of like, if they were to shoot a movie or to have a movie where about a slave owner's son, it wouldn't work as well, you know. I don't, it wouldn't, it, people would riot. That there's no way that would get made. So I can see people's concerns.
Well, you saying that immediately reminded me of The Boy in the Striped Pajamas.
But that's not the, that's not,
I know it's
slavery,
not slavery, though. But anyway.
I never saw this, that.
I don't need to see it.
It was a lot.
It's super sad. Because I feel like if they were to make.
I try to avoid those things.
If it's, I just think if it's made, a movie like that was made, it would not go down as well. But because everyone's like, you know, the Nazis are like universal, like everyone hates them, so it's fine, I guess. And I think I understood Taika Waititi's idea of like approaching this from a child's eyes. Like everything that's happening is from JoJo's perspective, you know?
I think the fact that it was a satire was what made it palpable and made it okay. I just like the first, like I could barely stomach the first 15 minutes.
And like JoJo, you know, he idolizes these Nazis because that's all he knows. Like that's, he's brainwashed to believe that these people are like the be all and end all.
Here's my two cents. I thought it was really great. I thought it had a lot of kind of direct parallels to what's going on today. Correct. With the fake news and people blindly following a certain orange person. Mm-hmm. You know, I said blind allegiances based on falsities. Like,
oh, yeah.
They're just following because that's what they're told to do. And at that time, they didn't have access to the news like we do. They couldn't see that what they were being told and given was fake. So I hated and I loved that about it. But I wanted him whole having Hitler as a imaginary friend. There were only a few moments that truly made me kind of giggle. I thought the very beginning when he's like hyping him up, I enjoyed that a little because you're watching this like shy little boy getting amped. And I enjoyed that. I thought it was adorable. And there was a few moments that made me like chuckle. But I wish they would have gone into more detail about why and when this imaginary friend appeared.
Oh, okay.
Because my thinking is that he kind of came about when his father left. Mm-hmm. And he was this lost little boy who didn't have his father figure anymore. And he... Yeah. He's being, all around him is Heil Hitler and all of this. And then, so he attaches to it. And that's his new father figure. Yeah, and that's what he's looking up to.
That's what he's lacking.
So I wish they would have given us a little
criticism.
A little bit of in-depth about why he's seeing Hitler the way he is.
Like, make that connection.
That's good.
Because that's what I imagine. And I think that's what makes the most sense. Because I don't see him, obviously the war hasn't been going on his whole life. So he didn't have his imaginary friend before. So I kind of just pictured it replacing his father.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
One of my first notes is, so when they're at the training camp and the Nazi like teenagers bring out the rabbit, the whole audience went, the whole audience.
I closed my eyes and turned away. It made me so, that's one of the things I couldn't stand. I was like, I don't need to see that.
I know. And then
animal cruelty gets me.
That was one of the audience moments where everyone went, okay, so I'm gonna go through the nomination. So best supporting actress. Okay, so here we go.
Ooh,
would have been okay if Scarlett Johansson was nominated for this movie instead of Marriage Story, because she's actually doing things in this movie. She, again, much like what Joy said before, when she's given things to do and has a caricature or whatever, she's so much better. She was leaps and bounds better than she was in Marriage Story.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, same. Like, I wouldn't... I think, yes, you can say this is an Oscar-worthy performance.
I agree.
From her. I don't think that Marriage Story had that same sort of quality. Even though she had, like, way less screen time, I feel like... She milked it for all it had. She really went there and she really like,
she had really fun.
Like gave her, yeah, she gave her all and she like submitted to this role in a way that I don't think she does with
my
like
only critique
normal people roles
about her and everyone in general was the awful like German accent.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Their accents were all over the place.
But because they were all awful, I was like, okay, I can forgive it.
I think it's the satire of it all.
Satire. Yeah, yeah. True.
Played it's into a it. Caricature of
they could get away with it, I guess.
100%. But as soon as she opened her mouth, I was like, okay.
You know what's funny, Joey?
I wasn't sure because I watched it by myself. I was like, is it just me or is it supposed to be this bad?
You know, you said how like in Marriage Story, she was like not good with the kid. Like you didn't believe her as a mom. I believed her as a mom here.
Yes.
Like, leaps and bounds.
Yes.
Different. Yeah.
Absolutely. I was like, wow, she really loves this kid. She really cares for him.
I saw it.
I think the difference is in this movie.
It's better written.
But also in Marriage Story. Her storyline is pretty selfish. Like, it's about her. It's about her wanting to get out. It's about her career. It's about her wanting to start over and step up for herself.
Yeah.
And not for the kid. In this movie, she's more focused on protecting her child, which is another little issue I had. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand protecting him and keeping him out of the dark. And she didn't necessarily encourage his Nazi ways, but she also didn't, like...
totally discourage
him. I think it's because she... Yeah, you're right.
I mean, she didn't want him to end up like she did.
Yeah, and I get that. That. But that's like, a tough parenting choice. Like, what 100%. Do we know? But, like... parenting is so hard. Like, you have to decide to, like, protect your children, but also, like, educate them at the same time. And, like, there's a line you got to draw, and, like, it's not easy. And
again, like, parenting advice, like marriage advice from people who have never been married or had children.
And that's, like, high stakes parenting over there back at that time, you know?
Maybe I can't say this, but I feel like I'm allowed to have a little bit of say in the parenting.
Same.
Because I basically did raise some children. But anyway,
I don't think we can have words on birth, but we can have words on raising.
Yeah. Raising children. Yes.
Yes.
We've been raised. Therefore, we can say.
Literally, I've raised a child. Literally. But anyways. Yeah, she's so much better. I love that scene where she's telling him about JoJo, about love, how love is great, and how it feels. It's like a pain. I thought it was so cute. That whole scene was great. He's like, oh, it sounds gross or whatever.
I love how, like, this relationship, their relationship, it was, like, so intimate. They were so, like, they were very close together.
So cute.
They weren't necessarily, like, always touching, but, like, they just felt like they were a very bonded family. And, like, you could feel that they are very close because, like, her daughter has passed away, his sister, and, like, their father is gone. Yeah. Her husband is gone. So you see them, their relationship, their closeness.
I don't think it was necessary for the film, but curiosity-wise, I want to know what happened to the sister, and I want to know...
Yeah, I was like,
what exactly the father is doing.
Right, like, I don't... as far as, like, the sister goes, I was like, did I miss something? Was I not paying attention? Was I, like, eating my popcorn at the time? I don't know, like... something slipped, and so I just didn't know.
Or I vaguely remember hearing the word tuberculosis.
I don't remember.
I have no idea.
Was that this movie? I don't know.
You've seen a lot of movies lately.
I feel like back in October when I did that thing trying to watch all the scary movies, and then again here during Oscar time, I get so fatigued of, like, having to watch something. I enjoy it. I enjoy the movies I watch. But I think it's the I have to part. And it feels like homework again. That I'm just like,
don't tell me what to do.
I get this, like, apathetic, same. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
I don't want to. Like, this week I was dragging my feet.
Especially with, like, the movies that you don't anticipate that you're going to love.
Yeah.
At least personally for me.
This one I wanted to see. If it wasn't nominated, I would have gotten to it eventually, I think. So right now I'm just kind of in the middle of Oscar fatigue, but because we've been so great and being on top of things, it's just been a lot really fast.
And also, this is the shortest Oscar season, so
yeah, we had to get it going. So it was also nominated for costume design and production design. So I really like how it's just, like, you know, Nazi Germany, whatever, and it's, like, shot really brightly. ScarJo's, like, green jacket thing she wore, and her, like, black and red dress that she had. Beautiful.
The lipstick. I read.
Beautiful.
Her lipstick was flawless.
Yeah.
I read some trivia about Taika Waititi doing some research for this, and he discovered that in Germany during World War II, people were still very, like, the fashion. It wasn't. He was like, I don't want this to be a gritty war movie, because that's not what it was like for them. So this undisclosed, because it's never really named where they are, this undisclosed place in Germany, life is still happening and it's still bright and happy because to them they're winning the war. It was a choice to make it brighter and happier.
I love that.
I think it worked so well.
I think it played well with his brand of humor, and how also Rowan Griffin Davis is his name.
Wow.
This is his first movie.
What?
I haven't felt this way about a child actor since Room.
Girl, I was going to say the same thing.
I walked out and I was like, this kid is going.
I'm following him forever. Fan for life. Also, his friend, like, Yorkie. Also, his first movie. Adorable.
Bitch. So cute. When I saw him, I love.
She's going to start crying again.
I Whatever. He was like, oh, Jojo, I heard your mom. What happened to your mom? I cried for ages when I heard.
I started crying. It
was so all that. He was so cute. And then he's like, I'm just a fat kid trapped in a fat kid's body. Like, all that shit was so cute.
That was Yorkie. I love that.
He was such a scene stealer. He
and then
was
Jojo so being adorable. Like, case closed.
He was so
that kid is great, and he wasn't just like because sometimes kid actors can be kind of annoying. So when they're not, it's such a great thing to watch.
It's such a breath of fresh air. Yes. Watching a kid be competent and do well, and he.
His entire face. Oh my god! So when they come in, like search his house, his entire face in that scene is fantastic.
You can visibly like see him shaking.
I was like, "Wow, kid,
masterclass!
Teach me how to act, sir."
Right?
Wow.
You and Oscar. He needs. He needed an Oscar nom.
You know what? Wow.
Yeah.
No wonder Taryn was like, Roman, you great, buddy, because he right.
Is. I don't understand that they've done it in the past. I mean, Anna Paquin was, what, 13 when she won her award?
Yeah. Tatum O'Neal was like 9 or something crazy like that.
Yeah, so get with it, Academy. Let's talk about the Sam Rockwell and Alfie.
Oh, my God. Okay, son of a bitch. I'm so tired of Sam Rockwell, like, playing a racist asshole. Like, I'm so tired of it. Can he just stop? He took this role. He has an Oscar. Like, he didn't have. Okay, I'm sorry.
But I don't feel like he was outwardly a racist asshole.
He
plays a Nazi. I mean, he's a Nazi.
I know that. But also, he's... Am I right in assuming he's a gay Nazi?
Yeah, but still also that's not... That's
and
not...
he helped Jojo and Elsa?
Okay, when he helped them, Mom was like, okay. But like, at the same time, okay, here's where I had problems.
Again, a redeemable asshole.
Yep, so that's him. You can't... This is personal feelings. This is not... Whatever. I'm not the judge. I can't say nothing. But like,
Maya Rudolph, where are you?
Right? Where is she when I need her? Nazis are not redeemable. Nazis are not redeemable. Period. That's it. Like, you get, no. He did one good thing that doesn't absolve him of anything. Like, I'm happy that he did that good thing. I'm happy that like some form of like good conscience came out of his tiny brain. But like, that was not enough. And also, like, it's problematic, and I don't remember the article that I read, but like making him gay, like, they Nazis personally attacked and killed gay people for being gay, just like they attacked and personally killed like disabled people, anyone who was less than like perfect to their standards. So like, I didn't like that. That made me very uncomfortable.
This is me again writing where there's not enough story. But
that's your job, Anna.
Here's what I imagined happening. When he came to Jojo and was like, at the very end, he was like, your mother was a good one. One of the only good ones. I kind of think he was in on her, what she was doing, and kind of aiding her.
That's what I thought.
So I'm wondering if his whole Nazi shtick was just a shtick to be helpful on the inside.
Yeah, but he was... But he had... Because didn't he see in the beginning, like, he had started and then he... got up the ranks to be whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, he's also trying to impress a bunch of kids.
I guess like a secret, like if you take like someone like in the FBI or someone in the DEA, the drug enforcement, whatever, and they like get in with a gang or get in with a mob undercover. Or whatever, undercover. Okay, but like how far deep in to these things? Like that fishy. Can only go so far, and the lines get so blurred.
I'm sorry. I just have this weird love for Sam Rockwell.
I actually like Sam Rockwell. I don't have a problem with him. I just have a problem with him choosing roles where he like does the same thing. I'm supposed to like feel sorry for him because he does one good thing out of like, I don't know. It's three billboards all over again, but whatever.
Although he did do like Fosse Verdon, which was completely different.
Maybe I need to see that. That's probably what I need to see because.
Or watch The Way, Way Back again.
Oh, he was really good in that movie.
I think that's the first time where I was like, I love you. And I'm going to love you for the rest of time.
He's a really good actor, but like...
I don't have a problem with him.
Writing-wise, I was just like...
Ooh. Just stop taking the role, Sam. Stop it. You don't need it. Also, stop it.
You know who I thought was really unnecessary in this movie?
Oh my God, who are you going to say?
Rebel Wilson.
You know what? I was saying earlier, like, I feel like this... To me, personally, she didn't stand out too much. And her brand of humor, like, fit with the movie. So she wasn't distracting to me?
I think it's because, I mean, I feel like I like her as a person.
Mm-hmm.
But her acting and her brand of comedy, to me, I don't like it.
Yeah.
And so it just stuck out to me because automatically, and I had just, I mean, I watched Cats. So,
oh, that's right. I haven't seen that.
I watched Cats.
Did you watch it? I still want to go see it.
I saw it a few weeks ago. She saw it. Yeah, Janie and I went and it was an experience.
I want to see it just for like, I
don't want to pay for it. So wait till it comes on like DVD or something.
I want to like drink a little bit, take a couple shots before I watch it and then watch it.
I fell asleep a bit during Taylor Swift's part. So I have, which is like one of the only songs I really, besides Memory and like bits of other pieces. Like that's the only other song I kind of knew. And I was like, well, I missed my cavity. Okay.
Oh my God.
It was a trip. I see why people want to take drugs and then watch it. Oh, I understand God. It
literally looks like an acid trip, and like more power to you, man.
And what cracks me up is that people thought it was going to be this like Oscar contender.
They did.
They thought
They were putting it as a
yikes. They thought Taylor Swift was going to be nominated.
They had for best song. They had submitted it they for funny. Stuff
and for like special effects and things like that.
Lord in
special
heaven.
Effects, ma'am. I can draw better than that.
You could see their hands. You could see Judi Dench's wedding ring.
Oh, so yeah. You did see it then?
I didn't personally see it because okay. I was really over it by then, but.
Okay, so back to Jojo Rabbit.
Let's keep talking about Cats. No, I'm just kidding.
It's going to be a Cats episode.
I really like the way the scene where we meet Elsa is shot and edited like a horror movie.
Yes.
Her hands. That was so great. Oh, that was so good.
Masterful.
So, wow. I don't know if you all know this about me.
I don't know stuff about you.
I have like serious hand envy for people with really long, pretty fingers.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I was like, what? Because I have short baby sausage fingers. Shut up. I do. Shut up. And so, like some of my cousins down in the valley have long, beautiful, elegant fingers. I'm like, fuck you.
They have the fingers that belong in like Pride and Prejudice, like holding a door, getting into a carriage.
And then watching her fingers like doing that down the banister, I was like, ugh, bitch has pretty long fingers.
She's probably tall and gorgeous. Gross.
I get so envious. My little pork sausages.
Shut the fuck up.
I can't with you. You're a mess. Michael Giacchino with the score.
Was it?
Yes, I
you
love
did
him.
The Incredibles?
Yes, well, Lost is what I know him from.
Oh, okay.
But yes, he did The Incredibles, yes. Da 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 da. I love that score, it's great. He's one of my faves, love him.
He's quality.
He is quality. I love that, I know I'm jumping ahead, but like, I don't think, another problem that I had was that I don't think he should have lied to Elsa at the end about like the war.
That felt unnecessary.
I didn't like that.
Yeah, that was weird. I was like, well, you survive. Why are you making this harder?
It would have made more sense if he had stuck to his guns about trying to keep her there. Mm-hmm. But then for him to immediately, I guess he saw her, he heard her reaction and then changed his mind. But because he immediately switched over to, I'm going to help you escape.
Yeah.
That just, it felt hinky to me.
And maybe he was just like, I'm literally alone in the world and she's the only person I have.
Yeah.
So no, I don't want to lose her. Maybe that's where it was coming from.
As soon as Yorkie said it, I knew that's what he felt. He was like,
yeah.
There was a moment where I thought maybe he's going to go like celebrate with her. But then I was like, no, baby boy is terrified that he's really going to be alone. Because
he is.
Who the hell knows where his father is and if he's
going to make it back. Still alive. Yeah.
I mean, I know he's supposed to be out there doing good. That's all we know.
So maybe he did survive, but we don't know.
There's no way to know.
And as far as he knows, no.
And yeah, the war ended, but there was still, it was still time like before just the literal peace. Like,
yeah,
they were still evacuating camps and there were still, I think, fights with Japan, U.S. and Japan were still going on.
And something in Italy was still happening.
Yeah.
So it wasn't over. Yeah. So who knows when it's going to be safe for him to come back.
It was just like that city. Because
I think
city
he said his dad
like,
wasn't Italy, right?
I don't know if that's what he was told.
I don't remember. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I think the easiest way to get at my feelings is definitely through children. And so like the whole scene wherever like the war comes to their city and like things are happening and like people are being blown up. And I was just like, I, first of all, hate war movies. I actively tried to not watch them. And now I have to watch a war movie with a child. And so I was like, more upset.
That was another one of my issues, was watching children in war disturbed me. Ooh, and the child soldiers.
That's so
Like watching Yorkie carrying around guns and things. I was like, this I'm not okay with.
In like, in like a, in like a, in like an army outfit. Like,
I was. That was devastating.
It
to
was
watch.
That was.
It was so heartbreaking. Was
Yeah, that was one of my, my grievances, my qualms.
I did like when Yorkie went to go hug Jojo, when Jojo was dressed as the robot.
That I know.
So cute. They really are like best friends. They love each other.
It was
so much.
The genuine joy they'd see on their faces when they'd see each other in the street.
And Yorkie at the end going, I'm going to go see my mom and give her a hug. I need a cuddle. I was like, I'll cuddle you.
I'll cuddle you. I'll take care of you. I'll adopt you. Baby.
You come right here and I'll give you all the cuddles you need.
Joy loves chubby children. So she's like losing it. I love at the very end they played Heroes, which is a song about like two people being separated by the Berlin Wall.
Yes. And then in German it was
freaking-tastic.
It was great.
That was a genius ending. It's like after all the shit
she got
that
to
I
dance.
Had to watch after all the things. I finally danced.
So yeah, Taika Waititi's probably the only person who could have done this movie. I think no other person. Yeah. Well, I mean, he had to play Hitler because no one else would do it.
I think
he wanted to because he is Jewish, and he was like, what's the greatest Polynesian fuck you? Jew?
He shopped it around to other actors, and they were like, nah, I'm good. What other roles you got for the movie?
And I think TIFF interviews, he was saying that like he wanted someone else to play it, and then the studio told him that they wanted him to play it.
Yeah, we'll find it, but you have to play it. And he was like, all right.
Which I think, I think he was the perfect choice for it too.
I agree. Yeah. You know what else I noticed about the movie is like it has a very Wes Anderson feel to it, and I loved that.
100%.
Someone commented.
I'm a Wes Anderson fan.
Saw something on Letterboxd that was like it's Taika Waititi's the
Moonrise Kingdom. It's Inglorious Moonrise Kingdom.
The Inglorious.
Yeah, that's the tweet the review I was talking about earlier.
Yeah, and then I saw another review on Letterboxd that had me doubled over in laughter. That was like,
What it was?
Yes, please say it.
It's funny that you say it made you double over in laughter. It made me cry, because I don't know. My emotions are all over the place. Sorry, Tarantino. Taika is the only director that can give me chills by filming a woman's feet.
Yeah.
Oh, that one I was like, it hurt.
I was laughing inside. From the Tarantino thing.
Yeah, of course. But like that shot
was heart wrenching.
Oh my God. Because like his face.
Again, this kid with his face acting.
His face acting is just above and beyond.
And then him not being able to tie her shoes.
No.
Killed me. I did love the meaning of like shoes and feet in this movie. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
The significance that they had, and him being able to tie her shoe at the end was beautiful. I've made all of them cry.
It's so
all of them.
Beautiful.
Like, there's so many of you. I've made all of the people cry.
No, I can't see my notes. Hold on. and one of them is really emotional.
Girl, I get it.
I think I don't know if I have any more notes. I can't see them. Hold on.
Okay, so I read a review. I think the one that gets it the most to how I kind of feel about it, Peter Travers.
He's
Rolling
great,
Stone.
Peter Travers.
He's really great. His interviews, his popcorn with Peter Travers interviews.
He asked, like, really interesting questions.
He's so detailed.
Genuine, too. Like,
yeah.
He's just someone who loves film.
I know.
You can, like, see it radiating off
he
of him.
He gets so excited, and I love that. So, anyways, the last paragraph of his review of this movie. Blah 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 blah. It's a modest goal, but it's in the small moments that Jojo Rabbit achieves its greatest impact. Waititi's faith in the notion that a child will lead us out of ignorance may be naive. It's also deeply affecting. Besides, isn't truth always the first casualty of indoctrination, whether you live in the era of fake news or not? The first word of the Lewin's novel come to mind. The great danger of lying is not that lies are untruths and thus unreal, but that they become real in other people's minds.
I like that.
Beautiful. It's poetry.
I do think there's also a point to be made about like all the decisions that imaginary Hitler kind of amped Jojo up to do mm-hmm. ended up being his worst decisions, like him running yeah. and getting the grenade and oh shit, I said that too, I was like oh shit,
because yeah
that was also sorry about grenades, Rebel was unstrapping one on that kid and then sending him off.
No,
I
yikes,
I lost it, I was not okay.
I'm telling you, the last, like, okay, the first 15 minutes, but, like, the last 15 minutes where it's just, like, kids fighting.
I also had this, like, awful fear that he was going to run back home and it was going to be gone. Like, it would have been destroyed. Oh, and I was like, he's going to be all alone.
Like, even more alone. It was, yeah.
That.
You know, I read and listened to a podcast about Taika Waititi getting interviewed, and the interviewer was like, so how do you feel, like this is, you know, this might be a polarizing movie and like it might offend people, and he was like, I think that's an American thing, everyone else in the world it's art, like he's like Americans are so sensitive, like I appreciate it, but I don't really need your pity, like I don't need you to be offended for me because I got it. Something to that effect. And I was like, very interesting.
I think I would agree. Because
he's like, because he was like, worry about your own like racial problems. Like, you I know, mean,
also
like,
yes. Yeah.
It's, yeah. I feel it was like very interesting interview.
For me, comparatively, like, yes, this movie is about a touchy subject, about an awful time in our history, but it was also done with such love and care, and you can tell there was a passion for the project in like a positive way yeah. compared to Joker, where it was
very insensitive.
Very insensitive, and it was over glorifying itself, and it was just gross. I think you can compare the two and be like, this is a difficult subject matter done well, and this is a difficult subject matter done badly. Terribly.
There you go. Yeah. That's the ticket.
That's for me. Like, if you're gonna do
which
something,
goes down to like the writing.
Yep.
Yeah, and I just think we can watch movies about touchy subjects if they're the right movie.
Yeah.
I think. And this was a right movie.
I think that what helps a lot is that it's being told from a child's perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so children tend to be more like, I don't know. It's like they,
are they more optimistic?
Yes.
Naturally.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're
what
more,
am I trying to say? I'm not trying to, I don't know what I'm saying.
They're easier to watch horrible things from because
they're resilient.
They're resilient. They're innocent. If they're being a certain way, it's, you're not blaming them. You're blaming parents.
Right. And you're like, not, I think in kids, you can see
they don't carry the burden.
They're more human, I would almost say. I think people, yeah. you can mm-hmm. see the humanity in them mm-hmm. better than you can in adults who are a little more jaded and have lived a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. So it's easier to see it through their eyes.
Yeah.
I like, not to like toot my own horn, but I like what I just said, like they don't carry the burden.
Yeah.
In topics like this.
Yeah, I think having it through a kid's eyes was the best way to go about it.
I think it's the especially only way to go about that it, kid. I think. Ugh.
What an adorable little boy. How cute.
And what did he make a comment about his teeth?
Oh, on Twitter, like, on Instagram.
And then Alfie Allen and Taryn yes. commented and were like, no.
What I know there was just a little hint of Alfie Allen, but what he did was great.
I wanted more of him. I love him so
much. I'm really
too.
I'm really mad that like Alfie Allen's not getting like bigger projects because he's such a talented actor.
I think this is a good step in the right direction.
I hope so.
I just
he was in that Predator movie. Did you see that?
Which one?
Had Jacob Tremblay and Trevante Rhodes and
clearly I was focused on one thing.
The Predator movie had Sterling K. Brown in it, I think, as well.
Yes.
I didn't watch it.
I didn't. I don't even.
I have to watch my son, Jacob Tremblay.
Yeah.
I didn't my new even, son, Roman Griffin Davis.
I vaguely remember.
Yeah. My adopted
son. Is Olivia
son.
Munn in that too?
Yeah. And my other son, what's the Yorkie's real name?
Yorkie, I don't know.
He's I don't know. So I'm going to find out.
I vaguely remember seeing press with Olivia Munn and Sterling K. Brown, but I didn't know it was. And I knew it was for like one of those movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. this is just like, are you okay?
I'm sorry. Archie Gates. I just had a moment.
Are you okay?
I was like leaning over to the side and then I got up and I kind of felt like my equilibrium was off and then I hit my glass and because I was a little dizzy, I thought I had spilled it and then it knocked me off even more. I'm sorry. Continue. That's so funny. This is great for a podcast.
It really is. Thank you for describing in excruciating detail.
I really, this movie just
I'm still recovering.
This movie just makes me want to go like adopt some kids. It just really pulls out my parenting strings. I'm like,
aww.
Damn it. I don't have money for kids right now.
You don't want kids right now.
No,
you want kids right now in this moment.
Right.
But you want to be able to send them home at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Currently. I don't know. I might keep them now. They're so cute.
I might keep them now. You can't return them, Joy, so.
No, man, I remember.
Oh, no, I know that.
I remember.
We're not doing it until I'm 100% committed.
I thought you were going to say until I'm 100.
I'm too old then.
That's what you were going to say.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry.
No, man, I remember watching Lion and wanting to take all of those children sleeping on the floor home. I was like,
you cannot.
I have a floor that's warmer. I will get you blankets and pillows, and we will make you happy.
Okay, we can't bring up Lion.
Okay, hold on. On Twitter, I don't remember who it was, but somebody on Twitter, maybe like last week or earlier this week, posted, it was like, what is the one movie guaranteed to make you sob?
So many.
And that was one of them, and I was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And other people were commenting the same thing that we felt, the same thing we experienced together when we watched that movie, that they literally couldn't leave the theater because they were sobbing so hard. Wow. And I was like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Man, that fucking movie. That should have won the Oscar.
I was going to say something else, but I'm not going to because we're just going to keep crying.
You know what?
Go for it. I'm already crying.
No. Do it. Just do it.
I was going to say that movie and Room were the ones I think we cried the most at. I know. That's why I didn't want to say it, but Room wrecked us.
I still haven't watched it.
Room is so great because
currently
it's like,
I don't think I'm emotionally stable enough to watch
it. No, it's fine. It's fine. Room to me is like equal. It's sad and happy in equal measure, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because like it's like heartbreaking what's happening, but then like you see almost like an escape movie that happens. And it's really dramatic.
I so wish I was wearing something that could have told me my heart rate because I literally felt it jumping out of my chest and I was shaking.
Like, honestly, Joel, like, we sat up in our chair. Like, we had to sit up because we were, like, so anxious of what was going on.
And it was an AMC dine-in, so we only had cloth napkins. And I was sobbing and having to blow my nose. I was like, I'm so sorry. I don't want to do it. And I have to because I couldn't breathe.
Yeah, we literally had on the edge of our seat. I'm not joking. It was great. It was a great experience.
I don't think I took a breath.
I don't think. Oh, no. Me neither, for sure.
I have goosebumps just thinking about how scared I was.
I was so terrified because I was like, well, this is kind of the middle of the movie. Like, anything can happen. Like, well, I was, oh, my God. Everyone watch Room. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Our son Jacob Tremblay is in it.
Our baby fantastic boy.
Also see Good Boys. Not the same thing, but it's also really good.
So funny.
Oh, I want to watch also Jacob. I need something with happy kids in it now.
It's so funny. Oh my God. Oh my God. We'll watch it right now. I'm not even joking.
I legit will watch it right now. I don't got to go to work till later tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay. So are we ready to rank it?
Cinnamon rolls.
Okay. Yes. I'll make some after this. Okay.
Who wants to go first?
I already have mine because I did it last night. Okay. So Parasite, Little Women, Jojo Rabbit, The Irishman, Marriage Story, Joker, Once Upon a Time. Jojo's above Irishman because it's so much better.
Mm-hmm.
But it's under Little Women just because Little Women to me is almost perfect. No, I think it is a perfect. Yeah, I'm going to say it is.
I think it is.
Well, I know you do. But I think comparatively to Parasite, I think Parasite, because it had a message and it had something to say, also was perfect
so
movie.
So did Little Women.
I feel like the message in Parasite was a little...
Oh, well, it's very different.
To me, that's why, to me, it's above Little Women. But a Jojo, to me, because it was beautiful. It was beautifully acted. Yes, it was very subject matter-y, scary, but I liked it. So, it's number three for me.
I think it's number three for me as well. Yeah. Right now, it's Parasite, Little Women, Jojo Rabbit.
The first ones are the easiest.
Where it gets hinky. I'm going to say Marriage Story just for Adam Driver alone.
Yeah, girl.
For his face and his acting. And then I'm going to say The Irishman and Once Upon a Time. I mean, they could literally be flip-flopped. I don't really care. And then Joker. And then Joker. Broker.
Okay. Parasite, duh. Little Women, duh. And then it's a lot of confusion. Not really, though. I think quality-wise, story-wise, writing, acting, all of the above, I'm going to have to also say Jojo Rabbit as the third place. Mm. And then I'll go with Marriage Story because Merritt Weaver.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and her.
One of the only good things to come out of that movie. What's left? The Irishman. And then Once Upon a Time or Joker can just go wherever. They're not really on this list. They're not really ranked. They're down there. I think I've had enough days away from Joker that I've stopped thinking about it. So I like, it's like null and void in my head now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, I don't.
That happened.
I mean, I still have to like think about it because we're like, this is the Oscars. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't ever want to think about you again.
Okay. And
yeah,
it's time. You guessed it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
McDonald's.
That was it. McDonald's, wasn't it? Fuck me. Okay.
No.
You're going to get copyrighted.
They don't listen to this. They don't know.
Watch someone.
McDonald's, give me some fries because I'm hungry.
Well, if you can sponsor us, we would love some McNuggets right now.
We'll have some fries while we
please sponsor us. Great. They also have like, never mind. Okay.
What?
Can I have an apple pie?
Okay, your first question. And this is bringing back my my wish for horror movies to be more recognized. What was the first horror film to be nominated for Best Picture?
Psycho.
Was it The Haunting that we watched? What did we watch?
Deserved to be, but no.
Oh, okay.
Oh, do you have multiple choice? I'm sorry.
No.
Okay, I said Psycho.
The Exorcist.
Oh, I will never see those ever in my life. Nope. You don't mess with that stuff.
Because nowadays, the special effects are so not up to par. Like, yeah. When you watch old movies, you're like, that was great for the time, but now it looks so bad. It
takes you out of it, yeah.
Although The Haunting was really good.
Well, that one didn't have, like,
special effects.
Super special effects.
That's true.
But so it's kind of funny to, like, what people thought was super scary. You're like, it's kind of funny. What was the original name for the Academy Award for Best Picture back in 1929?
Best motion picture?
Best motion
picture. For Best Picture.
Best motion picture.
Best, hold on. Best.
Chris actually knows this.
It was called the Academy Award for Blank.
Blank.
For, oh no. I do know they used to have two separate categories. One was like silent film, one was not. But I don't think this is what you're talking about.
No.
Best, I don't know.
Outstanding picture.
Lame.
How many Academy Awards for Best Director did Alfred Hitchcock win?
Zero. Two.
Zero.
Yes!
Bullshit.
I was guessing. Yeah, because Rear Window was awesome.
Was he ever nominated?
I believe so.
Okay.
But I don't think he ever won. Wow. Well, obviously he never won.
I don't think he won.
That was your trivia.
Let's see next year. Maybe he'll win next year.
I think he will. I watched
this. A posthumous Oscar?
I watched this ridiculous video where these two guys were at this, like, oddities and curiosity shop in California, and they held like a seance or whatever.
Mm-mm.
And this woman was like, you know, hold hands, we're gonna open the veil. And then she got out those rods that are like, these are EMF detectors, they can test when a spirit is here. Have you ever heard of those?
No.
So you hold these two sticks in your hand, and then they have sticks protruding out, and apparently the holder can't move them, but obviously when you turn or move, they move.
Yeah.
And she told him, she's like, just so you know, I can't move these. So you ask yes or no questions. And if they stay straight, the answer is no. And if they cross, the answer is yes. So they were like, is there any spirit you want to conjure up? And they were like, let's bring in Alfred Hitchcock. And so apparently Alfred Hitchcock came out to say hi.
Oh.
And I was like, this is so stupid. And you could, they were being kind and respectful to the person who was there. But anyway, it was funny to me. And he, they also brought up JFK and they found out who killed him. It was the Umbrella Man.
Oh.
So
called it.
In the Zapruder film, there's a, do you know what the Zapruder film is?
No.
Welcome to History with Anna. Okay. So when JFK is coming down the street, there's a man, his name was something Zapruder, and he has a little like Wyndham cam video recorder. And so he's going like this and he's recording, and you can see people after the whole, after the shots were fired, he like turns or whatever. And you can see people, and there was a man with an umbrella. And at the time, apparently, I don't know how much of this is fact, and the CIA or somebody was working on technology to have a gun inside of an umbrella to, like, hide it. And they think that's where the mystery third bullet came from.
Oh.
And so they asked, "Who did the Umbrella Man kill you?" And the rods crossed. So, yes.
I haven't, I used to be really into that, that
conspiracy.
Conspiracy. I haven't,
me too.
I haven't thought about it in a long time, and I kind of want to get back into it.
It's fun.
I went to the museum they have,
the sixth floor museum.
And then you know my connection to all of that.
I'm still like,
what?
Oh, dying. I don't know if I can.
We'll talk about it.
You can tell me later.
Yeah.
It's like you're going to tell me about your date.
It's not,
I didn't forget.
Damn. Good on you.
It's not my business to tell, so I'm not going to tell it on air. But,
drama.
Yeah. Anyways, I remember going to that museum that they had when I was like in junior high, and you could stand exactly where he stood.
There's an X on the street where the car was passing, and then you can stand where he shot on the sixth floor.
And that museum is so interesting because like it kind of plays into the conspiracy a little bit. So there's like the fact section, like the not so fact section. And I was like, wow, it was just, I was so enthralled by all of that. I was like, I need to get back into this. So yeah,
I suggest reading 11/22/63.
Thank you. I'm going to write that down.
It's not a lot of conspiracy, but I think it was really great.
Wasn't that a movie or something?
Yeah, they tried to turn it into a TV show on Hulu, and it was, I didn't even get past like the second episode.
Really?
Is that the one with James Franco?
Mm-hmm. It was such a bad adaptation, in quotations. It was terrible. But I was thinking about that when we're talking about Once Upon a Time, because I also wrote in my notes, like, in that book, they kind of, oh, never mind, if you really want to read it, I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Thank you. Did you ever see that movie with, Natalie Portman?
Jackie?
Yeah, did you ever see Jackie?
No, it's on my list. It's on my list to watch.
But my kind of going theory is that LBJ was somehow involved.
Oh, I've read that. I read that too.
I like that he was in cahoots with either the mob or with like CIA.
Well, now that we watched The Irishman, FBI. I know that he was in cahoots with the mob.
Because
The mob got him there, apparently.
I'm telling you, I think.
That's nuts. I really want to know
more. There was some guy named Jack Ruby.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot.
Yeah.
I used to be obsessed with this.
I need to. Like,
I want
to
get back into this. Yeah. Because I used to watch the stuff on like the History Channel and whatever.
It's so interesting.
So like.
And then because like it happened like where we live.
I love
in our city. You know what I mean?
Bloom going, it's not your fault, Dallas. Oh, forgive yourselves. Because some guy, we went to see her concert, and some guy, she goes, so this is where JFK died or whatever. And some guy in the audience yelled, sorry, we tried our best. And she goes, Dallas, don't blame yourself. It's not your fault.
Oh my God.
And I just thought that was really funny. Anyway, back to our last trivia question. I am so sorry for that
tangent.
Which actress famously said, you like me, right now you like me, during their acceptance speech for Best Actress in 1958? Crystal with the jump in.
Sorry.
What is it?
Sally Field.
Yeah.
I knew that one too.
Because I listen to a podcast called Little Gold Men and they play that every time in the intro. So that's how I know.
But also a lot of people get it wrong. They go, you like me. You really like me. But it's one of those like, Luke, I am your father. Like that's not.
Yeah.
I love how I covered my mouth like I was going to do the voice and I didn't do it.
So what's the voice?
What's the voice?
Do Luke, it. I am your father.
What is he, a gremlin?
Luke, are you your father?
Are you Peppa Pig? What is what is happening? Peppa, I'm your father.
Luke, darling. It's me, your father.
She's just like, you like me right now. You really like me.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Which, again, I only know because they play it every time. They also play a combination of that and then Jennifer Lawrence going like, it's such an honor to be present or whatever. And then it's like, you got it wrong. Moonlight. You want a speech? I need to play the interview. Yes. It's really great. I'm going to listen to Little Gold Men. It's a great podcast.
You like me. Right now you like me. Like me.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.